Support for Geek Speak, support for KD&K comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Jacob and Raleigh? Wait.
That's right.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Still getting the names in my head. You're listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. Call in with your questions, 963-2976. Jacob Sarver's here. He's fresh from DEF CON and has some interesting introspective from the event.
Yeah, I think we should start off right with that. What is DEF CON for people who are unfamiliar?
So DEF CON's a little hard to explain. It's basically the world's largest hacker convention. One of the world's largest anyways. And a bunch of hackers all get together in Las Vegas and break stuff. So that's pretty much the whole convention is having fun.
How do you get invited to DEF CON?
It's public access. You just show up. It's $280 at the door, cash only. They hand you your badge, and you can access pretty much anything in the event. Some events at the con require additional invitations or badges or whatever.
How many people, more or less?
So this year, I think we had around 24,000 people show up.
Wow. And do they lead you through workshops where you learn about how to do certain hacks?
So it's pretty free form. You can go around and do whatever you want. Essentially, everything's happening all at the same time, so you can't actually get to everything. But with that many people in one space, you can't really guide them through anything specific.
How likely are you to get hacked at DEF CON?
I didn't get pwned. Hooray. But I wouldn't trust any of the ATMs while you're there. They were all doing unsigned software updates, at least at the seizures anyways. Wow. I don't know if that's DEF CON related or not, but I saw a few ATMs doing updates.
What were some of the highlight panels?
So I didn't attend a heck of a lot of the panels because they're all published online afterwards. But my favorite by far was one about Ring Zero exploits in x86. So
x86 is basically any computer that you're running, your Mac, your Windows computer, with very few exceptions. x86 is the instruction set. So that's the processor in your computer. So your Intel i7 or your AMD Threadripper or something like that. All those processors are x86 processors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of the talks are pretty out there in the weeds for this kind of radio show, though. So
right. Well, this is Geek Speak, so anybody with any computer-related questions can call in at any time.
And we're getting a call. You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, I hate to interrupt you because that sounded real interesting, but I got a kind of Mac Hewlett-Packard Office Pro 8600 printer question.
So it's a HP OfficeJet 8600?
Yeah.
All right. Are you having problems connecting it to your Mac then?
Well, this is what happened on Thursday or Friday. I printed something out, shut my Mac down, came back a couple hours later. Could it print? It said, and could it scan? And it said, when I got to the printer, it said that it was offline. So today I put the computer away for the weekend, and then today I opened up different printer windows and somehow got it to give me a green light instead of a yellow, and it's able to print, but it will not scan. When I open up the OfficeJet Pro 8600, the scan button is light gray.
All right, so you can't click on it.
Yeah, can't click on it.
All right, and that's in system preferences on a Mac?
That's in...
Or is that on
a PC? Right now I'm in OfficeJet Pro 8600 in a Mac, and I'm running Mac OS High Sierra version 10.13.6.
All right, so that's the most recent. Let's see here. I'm trying to think here. I guess the first thing. Let's see here. Now, did the HP come with any software that you loaded on the machine?
Yes. I loaded it a couple of years ago. I was thinking maybe I'm going to have to unload it and reload it. But
yeah, because I was thinking that may be the simplest is if you already have the software loaded. What you could do is go into System Preferences, go to Printers and Scanners. On the left-hand side, select the 8600. Hit the little minus key button at the bottom of that list.
Right.
And then hit the plus button, and it'll probably show up in the drop-down once you hit the plus button, and then you can click on it, and it'll bring it back in.
Oh, really? So I wouldn't have to put the disk in or anything?
No, it should just sort of reinitiate. Sometimes to the print spooler, it's called cups, gets a little confused on some of these things. So
Wow. It
may be... need to be brought back in.
Uh-huh.
So some HPs have a little printer installer utility that may be in your applications folder.
Okay.
And you could see if there's an HP installer tool in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd start with just the printer. Macs are usually pretty good about going, it's a multifunction device, and going ahead and setting up the printing and the scanning.
Okay. Look at this. Just as we talked, I pulled up System Preferences, Printers and Scanners, and I had a green light on my Office Pro 8600, and it says idle default. Then it went to red, and now, when, the time that I just explained that to you, it went back to green. So that is strange.
So
I'm going to highlight it, you said?
Well, I don't know, this kind of sounds more indicative of some sort of connectivity issue between the printer and the router, or so if you surf the internet, do you notice any time where it's like you're surfing and then it like drops out for a little while and then comes back?
No.
Okay.
If I do a minus, I'm going to try the one thing you said, minus and then plus.
Yeah. So select the printer, hit the minus. That'll remove it from the printing service.
Okay. It says delete printer.
Yep.
And then go plus?
Click on the plus, yeah. And then there should be a list there, and you should see the 8600 in there.
Nope, there's no list. When I hit the plus, I get default IP, Windows. Oh, there it is. It took a little while.
Okay. Yeah, it should show up there. It should say bonjour next to it?
Or does it say
something else?
Well, it says Office Pro 8600. And in parentheses, 10.0.0.103 facts.
Okay. Facts. To the right of that, it should say like bonjour or IP or something.
Well, it's IP next to it.
Okay. Yeah. So it found it through the IP address of the printer.
Yeah.
So go ahead and select that and hit and then click the add button.
Okay. Now it just disappeared again. Well, you know what? It's strange. There is no... Now when I go back to default, it disappeared, which was what I just read to you, and I don't see an add button anywhere. I don't know if one comes up. Now the printer just came up again, so it's slow, but I don't see an add button. I'll highlight it. Now I got an add button.
There you go.
Dummy me. Okay. Okay, it added it.
All right, so then go in there, and there should be a scan button on the right. Let's see here. Or do you have to go into... Let's see here. I think on the side there should be a scan button, and you should be able to run the scan. So click on it in the print settings, and then on the right-hand side, it should say print and scan, and then click on scan and try to run a scan.
Well, you know what? Now what is coming up is only for facts. That's got me baffled, because even if, under printers, it's got the Office Jet Pro 8600 for faxes only.
Okay. They're so short. Do you have a USB cable?
Yes, but not with me right away. I mean, I don't think I could do anything right now.
Okay. So what I would, the first thing I would do is let's see if the printer and scanner act normal with a USB cable.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can narrow down whether it's a a connectivity issue with the Wi-Fi, or if it's something else is going on with the printer. Oh, and have you rebooted the printer recently?
No, we haven't. Turn it on and off? No.
Yeah, you just press the power button until it says shutting down, and then wait a few seconds, and then wait for it to power back up.
All right. I could do that also.
Yeah, but that's probably the first thing to try, and then see if we can narrow down whether it's a connectivity issue with Wi-Fi or if there's something else going on with the printer.
Okay, and why would this printer have come up under the fax and not the full printer?
Well, it sounds like it grabbed onto the fax part of the printer and not the regular part of the printer, because the on most computers it considers the printer a device and the fax a device.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little bit different drivers. There's some additional functions with the fax function where it, you know, will dial out and you tell it to scan with the fax and all those things.
Okay. If I don't get that printer back together, should I just get the program and reload?
Yeah, that's the that's a good way to start with it. Go to the HP website and search, go to downloads and support and type in your particular model, and then there'll be the installer package there. So it's usually best to start with the most recent one and download that from the
download and support for HP. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it. Wish me luck.
All right. Good luck.
Bye.
Good luck. Right. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. We have a little while left. 963-2976. So I was looking at the villages. DEF CON is broken up into villages. I saw that there's IoT, biohacking, and so on.
Yeah, so the villages all cover particular topics. I think I spent most of my time either in biohacking or the wireless village. Both of those were really cool places. But the voting machine village got a lot of press this year as well. I didn't want to be in there so much press. The room was crowded with press everywhere taking pictures of everything. Mainly because, well, it's all about hacking our voting machines. And none of them were able to stand up to hardly any attacks at all. Even a few 10-year-olds hacked a few of them.
Wow.
More than one. It was a SQL injection bug on the Florida website, the Florida voting website, I think.
Yeah, I saw an article about that, yeah.
And then people had the machines torn apart. Some of them were actually hacked through the wireless. So if you were on the same Wi-Fi network with them, you could log in and influence how many votes went through the machine easily, which is not confidence inspiring. Most of the machines took less than 90 minutes to hack.
Wow. So these hackers just proved that our systems are really vulnerable.
Really vulnerable. Not even questioning a lot of the things, because some of them had a USB port, I know, was on one of them, and that was let you use a human interface device, so like a keyboard, and you could type whatever you want. There was a lot of issues with these voting machines, and you could change the vote very easily, actually, which less than 2 hours is not acceptable.
Is the voting machine hack something they've done in past years, or was that new?
So DEF CON 25 was the first year the voting machine village opened up. And once again, it was crowded with press the whole time, from what I heard. And DEF CON 26 is the second year they're doing the voting machine village.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But at least the vendors are out there, you know, making some sort of effort to...
I believe most of the voting machines were actually brought in by DEF CON attendees, the vendors.
Oh, so the vendors aren't there going, here, break my voting machine.
No.
But you were saying there's, what was one of the villages where there was a lot of that going on, where the vendor was bringing in their wares and saying, hey, break this.
So that was biohacking. There were some vendors there that had brought in implants, so medical implants that communicate wirelessly for programming and stuff like that. And they were essentially letting hackers have their go at them. I believe insulin pump was one of the first ones to fail under the hackers. And then there was another one with a pacemaker. Both of them could have been used as fatal devices in either case, which is, you have to be pretty close. Because once they're implanted, the range on the wireless is approximately 2-3 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, water absorbs radio waves very well, especially the ones that they're using to, for communication.
And yeah. As with the voting machines, it sounds like some you needed a USB or you needed to be on the same Wi-Fi. So there's that like element of the interface. You have to get close enough to it.
Walking up to a voting machine isn't exactly something that's questioned. Generally, it's a somewhat private environment when you're voting, right? So walking up and plugging in a flash drive, nobody's going to notice that. Or being on the same wireless network, getting into another wireless network is not hard. Even password secured Wi-Fi, you can usually get into it within a matter of hours at the most.
Well, and the fact that WPA, which is the current standard, is cryptographically broken in many cases, so unless they're running the most recent firmware that has fixed a few of those problems, basically they just have to sit there and wait for a certain set of packets to be transmitted by the access point, and they grab those packets and go, oh, okay, we have the password, and off to the races.
Yeah, and on most wireless networks, those packets are transmitted pretty frequently.
Right, because every so often you're computer's going to go to the AP and say, hey, I'm still here. Do I need any new information?
And it'll re-authenticate. And you just capture that, and you can usually get right back in. Lots of exploits to get into wireless networks. Wi-Fi isn't secure.
Now, have we heard anything about WPA3?
That was almost non-existent. I heard people were joking about it because it's always been vaporware. But, yeah.
Because it was ratified recently, correct? Or is it a new draft?
I believe it was just a new draft. They didn't actually ratify anything.
Hmm. This is coding for.
Well, so there's you have the IEEE, which is the International Electronics Engineer something or other. And so they do so like all the Wi-Fi is covered under 802.11, and then you remember you have like B and G and A, and the most current one is AC, and the next generation one is AX, and so all of those. Are technical standards that when you say I'm going to build a access point with this chip, you have to conform to these standards to get everything to talk to each other.
Wow!
And so there's a whole bunch of technical stuff that's going on under the, and so then you have the encryption on top of that, which is like WEP, which is completely broken, WPA, which is very broken, WPA2, which is
pretty broken.
And the latest one would be WPA3, and they're working on putting that into probably 802.11AX. So that'd be the first hardware, and they're hoping that they can implement it in a way that would be backwards compatible with some of the current access points, so we wouldn't have to go through and replace all of them.
The reality of the situation is, though, that even with WPA3, more than likely just a few years down the line, it's going to be just as broken. Wi-Fi is never going to be secure.
Hmm. And so were there a lot of internationals at this conference?
Yeah, I met people who had flown in from China, Japan, some Australians, some people from the United Kingdom. It was people from everywhere.
Wow. Was there a top hack people are talking about?
Well, the badges were the badges were hackable, which was real
so,
funny.
It's kind of a DEF CON tradition. The badges are a hacker challenge themselves. So you need to hack those and figure out how to progress through this little text adventure that was running on the DEF CON badge itself.
Oh.
That was pretty cool there.
Well, and it had like 20-something LEDs, several ICs, and it said DEF CON 26 at the bottom, and it had like buttons where you or not buttons, but
little contacts. Yeah.
Contacts where it would detect that you're touching the contact with your skin, and
wow,
it would take that as an input, and so you would use your soldering irons and other things. Speaking of soldering irons, there's some of the room stuff was very interesting.
Oh yeah, so. This is relevant to anybody who goes to Las Vegas, actually. Since the that mass shooting that happened in Vegas, all the hotels implemented new policies around searching people's rooms. Apparently, if you refuse room service for more than 2 days in a row, hotel security is supposed to come by and search your room. And it's supposed to be a visual inspection. They walk in, look around, look and see if there's anything immediately red flag going on, and then leave. That's not what was happening at DEF CON, though. There were reports of items being confiscated, people having bags dug through, hotel security not identifying themselves when they're trying to enter a room, all kinds of issues relating to room searches and items being gone missing, and it was a big mess.
Wow.
And, have they come to any resolution, or are they still in talks?
So the hotel, the Caesar's Palace specifically, has come forward and said that this is what was supposed to be happening. Apparently that wasn't happening, though. So that was security staff acting on their own accord, according to them. But nothing so far. We're almost a week past the start of DEF CON at this point, and we're still no information aside from DEF CON security and staff are still in talks with the hotels about these issues.
What kind of things went missing?
So the most common thing to go missing were soldering irons for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, and especially with the smoking areas being fairly pervasive in...
Yeah, so if you don't know, Nevada, you can smoke indoors pretty much anywhere. There's not a no smoking sign. So on the floor in the hotel and the casino floor, you could smoke essentially anywhere you want. So arguing that it's for health reasons is kind of no.
Were there people soldering every which way?
Well, for example, on the badge, you had to desolder one of the ICs and flip it 180 degrees to be able to complete part of the hack of the badge. Uh-huh. So
soldering was happening in a lot of places, and yeah, soldering irons were everywhere. So them taking soldering irons is actually kind of a big deal. A lot of these irons were probably pretty expensive,
right,
too.
Yeah, I imagine. Because
I have my entry-level soldering iron is around $100, and they go up substantially from there. So some of them are $1,500. I think somebody reported that one of the ones stolen was in the $1,200 range. So it was a professional level soldering iron.
There must be some sensitive information too. I imagine at a gathering of people who are really kind of at the precipice of tech, you know, you're exchanging probably some pretty interesting stuff.
Well, and some of the talks were not announced. There's no recordings. You're not allowed to. So you go there, you experience the talk, and then everyone parts ways. There's no record of it.
Yeah. So those were sky talks. Some of the villages gave talks like that. No recording equipment allowed. Turn off all your electronics. We want to look in your bag kind of stuff to make sure nothing was recorded and you could say what you need to say without getting in trouble.
Yeah. As opposed to using technical minutiae to sort of say how you did it. It was, you could get into the nitty gritty of it without worrying about social or judicial recourse.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Fascinating. We're towards the end now.
Yeah. Let's see here. So you said, what were the other villages that you spent some time in? I know you said biohacking and then the Wi-Fi or the...
So the wireless village was pretty interesting. The Wall of Sheep was up in there as well, which is just a big display of everyone's password who got pineappled or connected to the wrong wireless network and transmitted their credentials in clear text. All of their credentials would just show up on this big projector wall.
Wow.
Yeah. the wireless village was pretty interesting. There was the fox hunt and stuff going on, and all sorts of challenges that I didn't have hardware or the know-how to actually participate in, even. So, more to learn, clearly.
Were there anybody, like, people getting upset by having, you know, if their password and username showed up, or would they kind of keep it to themselves?
Well, so the only people who were on the floor were DEF CON attendees. And if you're a DEF CON attendee and you end up on the wall of sheep, you don't admit it. One.
you go and fix it. And, I mean, now.
Yeah. But for the most part, I think it was unsuspecting tourists who ended up on there without knowing any better. Which... whatever.
How would you change that if you think that maybe your email password has been jeopardized?
Contact your email provider and tell them that you need encryption on your login.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can, if you use something like Outlook, you can go into system, or excuse me, you can go into accounts and go look at your account and make sure that you're using SSL or TLS. TLS is preferred over SSL at this point. So if your email provider supports that, try clicking on it, changing it to the appropriate port, and seeing if it'll allow you to log in and send email and all that. That'll take care of a lot of that issue.
Would you both recommend encrypting your email if you're just an average Joe?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. More encryption, more better.
All right.
And we have another bumper sticker.
More encryption, more better.
Yeah. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGrair, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Jacob
and Raleigh Burley. Raleigh.
Yeah. Have a great week. We'll be back on the first Monday of next month with Louie the Computer Guy. Have a great week, everyone.